We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Your love of your RV drove you to the Grand Canyon. And your love of the Grand Canyon drove you to the gift shop, where you overdid it just a little. Guess who's getting an I Heart the Grand Canyon t-shirt for their birthday? Everyone. For their next 6 birthdays. Luckily, your love of your RV also drove you to protect it with Progressive RV Insurance, while wearing your new favorite shirt. Visit Progressive.com to cover the things you love. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Anyone need a shirt?
This is Heat Beat with Giancarlo Nava and Ryan Goins.
Welcome to the Heat Beat Podcast. I'm your host, Giancarlo Nava. And with me today, we have our co-founder, Mr. Brian Goins. How are you, sir?
Sup?
We have our resident screw-up, Mr. Alex Toledo.
Sup, guys?
We have our insider, Mr. Lefty Leif. How are you, sir?
Very good. What's up?
He's a worst off
a fire-ass column today on HeatBeatMiami.com. It's about how the heat process is the only process. It talks about heat culture, so you can check that out on HeatBeatMiami.com. We are definitely going to get into that today. Our last show with Mr. Evan Cohn was a big hit, and we fell in love with him because he was outstanding. And we didn't even get to half the things we wanted to talk about. And I want to kind of piggyback, or I guess continue on that show, because the next thing I wanted to talk about, because I want to get the old out of the way first before we get into last night's Charlotte game and the rest of it. Heat Twitter made Eric Reid apologize on air, and that was hilarious, and we didn't talk about it.
By Heat Twitter, you meant Alf, right?
Oh. No, but like Heat Twitter descended on that guy.
And then Eric Reid responded to Alf's tweet about it.
Yes, I mean, Leif, did you see that?
I did. I think that's a testament to how interactive we have the local media with Twitter. I don't think you see that in every city, every NBA city, where you have such a large group of fans that tweet directly at the work. You know, whether it be the media members or Eric Reid, you know, Dos Minutos with his whole thing with Tony Fiorentino.
Explain what that is. Explains what that is to the casual listener that doesn't know anything about Dos Minutos' account.
He asks very basic questions as if he is being extremely sincere when asking them to try to get responses out of Tony. And it's very well played and well done. And I'm not doing it justice.
He set up. No, Tony eats that up. It's so funny. He'll be like, "Hey, coach, it's been a while since our last win. What do you think tonight's going to be like?" And he'll be like, "They won yesterday." It's like so great.
He did one on Darren Williams. I can't remember what it was, but it was hilarious.
I think he called Derek Williams Darren Williams.
Is that what he said?
Yeah, it's funny. So he Twitter made Eric Reed apologize. Brian, do you have that sound for us?
How would I have that
sound? I sent it to you, damn it. I thought we were producing. I DM'd it to you.
This never goes well. It never goes well.
You should text me. I don't get it as fast. Okay.
Go fetch us the sound. So, what happened was, let me set this up for you.
I got it.
I want to set it up. Hold on. Eric Reed said that LeBron's team right now, his Cleveland team, was the deepest he's ever had. Like, it has a team with the most depth. And he Twitter was like, what are you talking about? And they just like completely fell on top of Eric saying, how could you say that that's the deepest team he's ever had? And it forced this out of Eric Reed.
He tweets, Mercury gave LeBron, they have the deepest team. And we didn't clarify, right? We meant the deepest team he's had with the Cleveland Cavaliers. We didn't mean to say that Cleveland team is better than all four teams he played on in Miami. So let's set the record straight. We said it's the deepest, maybe the best team that he's had with the Cavaliers.
Yeah, exactly. And two things.
He sounds so shook. He sounds so scared.
It's a very important point to clarify. I think he did the right thing.
Oh, he did.
And also, you could tell his level of petty during the game at Cleveland, talking about LeBron fouling and just a lot of other small comments where you could tell that Eric Reed is on our side.
Mike Inglis as well. Like Mike Inglis on the radio. He was great. Oh, LeBron acting like that's the first foul he's ever committed in his career.
He said that twice.
He said, like, dude, he was about that petty. Like, Mike Inglis was about that petty. I was so proud of him. I was like, yes, one of us. That guy, man. So, I can't believe that we got Eric Reed to apologize on air.
What are you guys doing to him, man?
Alf calling that for bath salts. I mean.
Wait, what?
Didn't you see Alf's tweet?
What, he called them baths?
He was on bath salts.
I was surprised he responded to it just because those words were in the tweet, no matter what it said to him.
Do you think Eric Reed knows what bath salts are?
Yes.
Because he's been around Joe Green before.
He beat me to it.
Oh, man.
Allegedly.
It's a shame that Alf is not here to comment on his tweet to Eric Reed.
God, it was so great. See, Alf is late. He's going to be on with us later. His kids need the computer, so he's being a good parent, a good adult. I don't know what that's like, being a good adult. I'm an irresponsible adult. We got into the petty. We got into I really wanted to get to that because last show we didn't get to do it. Last night, and the Heat are playing these really fun games almost every night because if they're blowing someone out, you're like, oh, my God, this team was 11-30, and we're blowing someone out on the road. That's amazing. Or they're beating good teams, or they play a game like last night at home, where it's back and forth. Kemba Walker is so good, and that was a gutty win, man. Leif?
Yeah, this season has been fun in that game. It was crazy to see the runs back and forth. It felt like a playoff game. The crowd was live. I could see that, you know, through the TV screen, and it's just fun to be playing basketball that matters at this time of year, when for so long this season it looked like we were going to be watching the ACC tournament and things like that, trying to worry about who we were drafting.
Advanced scouting.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, Alex, every game they play matters. Like, every time that they play a game, that result matters. It's important. If they lose, you're upset because it's like, oh, that's going to do a blow to our playoff chances. Detroit won and Chicago won. Like, right? Alex, do you feel the same way?
I'm all in. I feel the same way because it's kind of too late to go back to tank season. It was cool while it lasted. I salivated over Markelle Fultz and Lonzo Ball for a little while. Haven't watched highlights since, kind of like breaking up with the Nets.
Oh, is that how that goes? When did you stop watching highlights?
I did the same thing. I understand. Like,
when did that happen? Was it in the middle of the win streak?
Man, yeah, at about when I started giving up on our chances on them, I'm like, yeah, there's no point. I'll start watching Lauri Markkanen or something.
Oh my God. Has your college basketball watching intake declined since?
Hell yeah. It's like a hiatus until March Madness. Yeah, there's no point. The tank season is over. If the Heat were to lose every game from now on, that would leave them in a solid position. But we all know it's not happening. So it's cool to watch, man. It's cool to watch them play important games. It's cool to win games and feel like the season matters again. And I don't mind anymore simply because of what I just talked about. But it's been fun to watch, bro.
Half game behind Chicago.
If they don't make the playoffs and we do and we jump over them, for that A seed, I'm going to be unleashed, and we all are. It's going to be so fun.
Twitter is will they turn? I guess yeah, we will turn on Dwayne like that.
That'd be validation.
Oh God, I can't wait for those memes. Think of the memes.
Oh my God, that's going to be one of the best days of Heat Twitter. I'm sorry, man.
I can't wait. That's going to go down to the final day, probably.
It'll be close. And as an update, the Cavs are up 5 over the Pistons with 11 minutes to go in the fourth.
They better not blow that for a couple reasons. One, because if Detroit beats them, kind of, it's all Cleveland struggling. You know, they lost to two bad teams. I don't want to do that. I want us just to beat Cleveland while they're good. Number two, we don't want Detroit winning.
Can I just lose really quick?
Do they fall out of the playoffs?
Oh, Detroit? I think
they're tied with us.
No, they're right.
They're half a game on top. So if they lose, they're gonna have the same record as Miami. What is it? It's they have the same.
None of us know any of these statistics.
you got
the wrong crew on for that.
Dog, it's one seed or die. Like that's all we know.
I'm just watching the games.
Wow, how uninformed. Sorry, Almighty Baller.
Yo,
and Dash Radio.
And Dash Radio.
Soon to be.
Tom Haberstroh, I think, searches up his name.
Well, duh, he searches his name.
He just liked my tweet from, like, the afternoon where I said I roll my eyes every time Levitard brings on Tom Haberstroh. And I didn't at him.
Did he follow you?
No.
How lame is the famous guy or crappily famous guy who searches their name?
Especially when you're Tom Haberstroh, he's already pretty lame by himself.
That's how Hassan blocked me by searching out his name.
Did y'all see that Vine?
Adam.
Did y'all see that Vine he put out?
Hassan?
The white one?
Yeah.
Oh my
Hassan,
God.
What color is that? White?
Yeah. God.
I love when he does one of those dumb things and someone on Twitter goes, our franchise player. Yup.
I'm trying to be less harsh on Hassan. As long as we keep winning and playing well, I'm going to keep my mouth shut about him. But
let me say something.
The only access I have is his Snapchat because obviously I don't see any tweets. So that's how I get the white side experience.
Dude, who let him put that up?
Oh, I want him to do more of those. I want him. I love his
put
vibe.
Up like 10 of them.
No, it's great. Somebody made a compilation. Yeah, that guy's awesome. He's such a big kid.
He is. This is true.
He's 27. Isn't he?
He's like the opposite of a Heat player. Like, who does that? You know?
He's coming around. I mean, he's not Magruder, but you know, slowly we kind of are tied to him, so it's a tough spot, you know. I don't know if he'll ever grow up, but we damn sure have to hope he does.
I really like how lately, and most of his career has been like this. If he's not involved early, he's loafing. He's not, like, if he doesn't get going in the first quarter, or if he's just, like, playing bad or missing shots, he's very disengaged. That has changed in the last 2 weeks.
I love how when we don't have a specific topic and I'm on, you go straight to let's slander Hassan.
I'm not slandering Hassan. I'm saying good things. Like,
I'm not going to slander.
No, we're not. Wait, we're not slandering Hassan. I'm saying that that's changed.
Someone play the Snapchat. I want to see Lay slander Hassan.
I have video.
Ryan, play the Snapchat.
Which one should I play? There's like
the compilation.
I don't even know if there is a compilation I can find. I just have like multiple clips. I'll just play back to back.
Play a clip, because they're all funny.
Why is Wayne Ellington on here?
Wow, no,
I don't want that one. I want this one.
Guess what color that bar is?
White.
That was awfully predictable.
Guess what color my table is.
Guess what color my table is.
Stop! Because it doesn't work. It doesn't work.
I found the compilation.
He did.
Alf needs to come on and save this podcast. God.
What are we talking about? We were doing good. I wanted to talk about Hassan's effort on defense and how it's improved. And you wanted to slander him. I was trying to say nice things.
This is unfair.
Well, I want to say good things about him because he's been engaged defensively at the end of games in contests that he has not performed well offensively in.
That is true. And during the streak, he hasn't been as loafy when he doesn't get the ball or when his shot attempts are low. He, you know, even against Charlotte, he came back in and played, semi-productive. You know, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, at the end of that Cleveland game, especially.
Yeah, big time.
I mean, big time. Hi, Alf. Welcome. Alf's just, okay, Alf's on.
I have the clips ready.
I don't want the clips anymore.
Well, I'm going to play it anyway.
No, I don't want them, because you produced so poorly.
You have to call this plant. White side. You have to call that bar. White. It's your boy Whiteside. Guess what color that kitchen is? White. Guess what color the spear is? Not red. White. It's your boy Whiteside. Guess what color my house is? White.
God, he's so perfect.
Guess who I'd rather pay $98 million to? Oh, Carl. Oh, Carl. Right?
That's Harrison's favorite house.
Welcome, Alf.
Zay right here.
The Twitter president, Alf. Welcome back to the program. How's parenting?
Parenting is hard.
I don't want to parent. That sounds awful. Leif was slandering Hassan.
See, that's not what was going on.
Again? Hassan's been good, man. Like, not
that's
caring
what I'm
about
trying to say, man. They're trying to bait me.
We boxed him into a corner. Yeah, this will last two weeks, and then he'll be complaining about his touches again. So enjoy the ride, baby. The white side roller coaster
out of his chair.
He's probably pissed at Gianni for treating him like crap. Oh, we should curse like crazy right now.
Oh, Brian has left.
Since Brian walked away, we should just start going crazy with the expletives.
Should we?
Nah, but we're corporate as hell right now. Almighty Baller Network.
If he comes back, just say the bleeping bleep.
No, I'm not doing
that. He thinks we've been cursing the whole time.
I'm trying to be credible, man.
Building a reputation?
I am.
That would have been so funny. He comes back. Hey, Brian, by the way, from timestamp 37 to 38.
Were you guys, like, making good points and I just blew up the whole pod? Is that
absolutely
what happened?
Not. We were being extremely choppy and inconsistent.
Brian was trying to produce. He was doing a bad job of it. We talked about the Eric Reed shade that he threw at LeBron. Talked about how Mike Inglis is so team petty.
We talked about him apologizing to you.
That was appropriate. It was a seminal moment in my Twitter career that, like, I, because everyone was adding me, like, dude, they're apologizing to you on air. They needed to say my name. Like, I wanted him to say, we have to send a special apology to Alf because he called us out on our BS.
Look, Matt, so you know who we are.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And that's the same thing. Jason Jackson one time, like somebody on Twitter, Jason, you know who I am. Come on now. I'm president of Heat Twitter.
Jason knows. They know.
Respect the title, baby.
Brian, how do you think about Hassan and what he's been doing on Snapchat?
I'm great.
I don't know I don't know if you know how old I am, Alex.
Yo, Leif has him on Snapchat. Aren't you guys like the same age?
Yeah, but like I'm old man. Like Leif is still like young at heart. Like Snapchat is the most confusing thing I've ever seen. I don't understand it. I don't even understand Instagram, dude. Like,
you try zooming in on Snapchat.
Yeah, I don't send it. I don't send it when it goes away. Snaps. I just look at other people's. I don't know how to use it that well.
You don't accidentally send things to the story that you meant to send to a lady?
Nah.
I'm going to end up like Draymond. I'm still putting music on MySpace. What are you talking about?
You know, I
ride around with the CD case up in the car, man.
What? I got cassettes.
Jesus Christ.
Do you guys even know what cassettes are?
Yes, I mean, the cassettes that I had a cassette when I used to have a cassette that had an aux cord. You know what I'm talking about?
For the CD player.
Yeah.
Well, no, it didn't have an aux cord.
They used to sell cassettes that had an aux cord for cars that did not have an aux cord, like input.
Yeah, you put it in the cassette deck. Yeah.
Yeah, because it would have a cassette.
I remember you used to use those for CD players. They had that for an aux cord. Like, you could plug an iPhone into a cassette. Yeah. At that point, just get a new car, bro. Like, what are you doing?
Adapting.
We're trying too hard. Like, first of all, if you're driving a car that you need an aux cord in a cassette, you shouldn't play music. You should be as low-key as possible. Like, you should be riding around the dark with your lights off. Like, you should not be drawing any attention to yourself.
That means you're driving one of those cars where you're like, you need the AC on, roll down the windows.
Oh.
Or you turn the AC on and the engine cuts off, one of those joints.
Or
you had to roll down the window, like manually roll it down.
The last car I got was the first new car I've ever purchased, at least not purchased. And when I was looking at cars, I was stunned that they still sell roll down windows.
Oh, hell yeah.
I couldn't believe that.
Wait, like new cars have roll down windows?
I can buy a Nissan Versa, brand new, roll down window. I could not believe it.
What's the point? Like, what's the point of buying a new car?
Exactly. What? I couldn't believe it.
It's like, yo, I want a new car with that old in it. My bad, Brian.
The nostalgia, man. The nostalgia factor.
Brian, write that down. Way to go.
Okay. Out here buying hipster versus.
Talk about the heat. Alf, since you just came on, do you want to talk about Heat culture? Do you want to talk about the game last night? You want to make fun of the Bulls? What do you want to do?
No, but the game last night, I thought it was interesting because if you watch the first basically 85-90% of that game, it was all ball movement, open three, ball movement, open three. Like, it was just like beautiful basketball. Then like Clifford was like, okay, no more passing lanes. And, it was like what they were able to do to just shut down the ball movement was like what Charlotte was able to do to shut down the Heat's ball movement was impressive. But then on the other side, what was even more impressive is the way the Heat just adjusted. And like, we talked about this in the chat, and I love Spo. Like, everyone knows I'm a big Spo fan, coach of the year, all that stuff. I think he's deserved more credit for the longest, but I've never liked his in-game adjustments. And I don't know if this was a Spo thing or the players themselves decided it was time to take matters into their own hands. They started playing a little bit of ISO ball because of the way the Hornets were reacting to what they were doing. And it was just really cool to see, like, JJ step up. Then Goron stepped up. And then, like, Deion came in and was like, okay, game over. It's time to go home. Like, let's wrap this up, boys. Again, that was cool to see how they made that adjustment. Like, all right, end of the game. We're going to execute. We're going to go one-on-one if we have to, but we're going to put this thing away. You didn't see that at the beginning of the year. And that's two games in a row where the last, 2 minutes to 90 seconds, like, they have really played smart basketball to close a game out, where before they were doing things, they were throwing away games, close games. Now you're seeing them, okay, we're up four. Let's use this entire shot clock, but still get a good shot off at the end. But we're using the entire shot clock. I mean, the only one who's been messing that up is Jay Rich.
Your boy.
Yeah, I'm a little down on him, but
something I really like to notice, and it's akin to what you're saying, is everything they did was so decisive down the stretch of that game. Like, it was ISO, but they had a plan. Deion Waiters went to the basket, beat his man, and you could tell how well coached they are because they know where the help's coming from. right? So Deion Waiters beats his guy off the dribble. He knows where that help's coming from. And boom, Wayne Ellington, open shot. Boom, James Johnson, open shot. So they're making these moves, and they know where help's coming from, and it's so decisive. They're like, if I beat you and this help doesn't come, I'm going right to the rim. If the help comes, I'm making that pass. Everything is planned. It's controlled chaos because they do play a bit of wild ball.
And the help stopped coming because they were destroying them every time they came to help in the lane. So that's when and you saw, I mean, you just saw the switch, like where they were just like, okay, JJ, I'm gonna take over. Goran, I'm gonna take over here. And then Deion came in and just closed it out. Like, you guys know I'm not super, super high on Deion. I appreciate what he's doing. But I mean, it was just, to me, it was just like really cool to see that. Like, we've had a game plan the whole game. Like, it's one of the things that I haven't been happy with the Heat the last few years. Like, just the game plan changes and we don't adjust. It was cool to see the last two games, the team adjust and close out a game that they knew they should win. It was nice to see.
I thought they were going to lose.
This team has figured out, like, spacing. I think that goes back to the guys being in the right spots when they penetrate and they find those open threes in the corners, even top of the key. Sometimes they get looks. And that all has to do with that these guys finally are figuring out where they need to be on the floor. And the crazy thing about last night was seeing Charlotte go so big. They had Batum, MKG and Marvin Williams like on the court at the same time, and that I thought that was going to be
with Cody Zeller.
Yeah, that's a really big lineup in today's game. And you know, the Heat reacted to it well there at the end, even with some ISO ball. Deion's good at that. He's good at pounding it and you know, hitting fadeaway 3-point shots.
But they were
about what you just said.
But Leif, they were all doing it. I mean, Goran wasn't hitting fadeaway threes, but they stopped passing the last 2 minutes, and it was deliberate. They, because Charlotte was jumping every lane, like it was. I really enjoyed watching. I hate ISO ball, but I enjoyed watching the fact that they decided, okay, now is the time for ISO ball because there's nothing else happening right now. It was,
that felt like the playoffs when the game slows down. That's exactly how it felt.
And that's what I'm saying, Leif. Like, it gives you a little bit of hope that this team can play different styles, where we've seen teams like Atlanta do what the Heat are doing right now, where they kill you with ball movement and threes, and then you get to the playoffs and they get swept every year. It gives you a little bit of hope that, yeah, they can play a playoff-type game where things slow down, everything bogs down, it's man-on-man, and somebody's got to make a play. They had three guys out there making plays last night to close the game out.
But I think every game they're having different guys step up at different moments. Willie Reed came into the game and it looked like they kind of needed some baskets, played great pick and roll ball, was rolling really hard, finishing, catching his misses. Like, that's what you want. And they have different guys doing that every night.
They've been really good in the fourth quarter. They have a net rating of 13.1 over this last stretch of the last 24 games where they've gone 20-4, whatever it is. And basically, it's 5 points higher than all quarters. They have a 13.1 net rating in the fourth quarter and 8.5 over all four quarters. It's a good indicator of maybe how good they can be in the playoffs when they keep succeeding on, especially on defense, where they have like an 88.1 defensive rating, I believe, over the last 24 games. It's a good indicator of what they can do in the playoffs. And guys, it slows down.
Like, I'm not high on Deion, but man, like, a guy with that confidence, we saw what happened when we needed Dwayne to just make some shots last year against Charlotte and Toronto, and we needed Goran to step up against Toronto. It's nice to have that guy that, yeah, no matter what's going on, end of the game, he's not afraid to take a big shot.
And this team needs it, too.
Alf,
they do.
16 assists in the first three quarters, only three in the fourth.
See, I don't need your – see, my eyes tell the damn truth, all right? You guys with your advanced stats.
I was just giving you some numbers.
No, I'm happy you did that for the Nikaiases and the Christians of the world who are going to give me some PER, APB, VORP crap. My eyes told me something. My eyes told me something, and it's actually what happened on the court. Like, there were three assists. The ball movement stopped. They went ISO. All right. I'm vindicated, man. I feel good.
Yeah, go ahead and brush your shoulders off, man.
Numbers are for nerds. I've been telling you guys that.
I read the internet wrong. They had 8 assists in the fourth quarter.
Damn it.
I was reading steals.
Damn it.
All right. Wah, wah.
That's so good, man.
They had 8 assists in the first half combined.
Okay. But my point still stands.
Does
and it? I said last 2 minutes. How many assists did they have in the last 2 minutes?
God.
Did I not say that? I said last 2 minutes.
Why are you taking expense stats?
They had 2 assists in the first quarter, so.
I said.
Oh. Damn, you made that.
Did you give me the Cody horn?
Oh, see, no. I said, okay. Now this is not refreshing. Now it says 2 assists in the fourth quarter.
Okay, dude, what are you.
And this thing has to decide.
How hard is that? Like, what are you doing? Thank you, Brian. So how many assists did they have in the fourth quarter?
No one
Jesus
knows.
Christ. Do I have to call Nikias?
Call Nikias.
It went from 3 to 8 to 2. How many assists were there?
Okay, there were 2 in the fourth quarter.
Okay, so I'm vindicated again.
Tyler Johnson played 12 fourth quarter minutes?
He always plays 12 fourth quarter minutes. But he, for some reason, you don't think he's valuable.
How did he play 12-1?
What was that?
How did he play 12-01 minutes?
That is really loud.
Why are you so bad at producing? It's not hard. You just have to not ruin it.
Look for the numbers.
Stop. I'm confused.
Is it 2 or 8?
It's 2.
Okay, so I was right.
Yes.
Jeez. 3 to 8 to 2.
And that's why we're the best Miami Heat podcast on the internet.
Woo! Give us a radio hoops. Show. Eat your heart out.
Trust that culture.
Yeah, we need Nikias around when we want to talk numbers.
They had 19 assists in the first half and the third quarter. So the first 3 quarters, 19 assists.
And then 2 in the... Okay, so I was right. But I hate being right so damn much. It hurts. Okay, so when
I want to let that sit.
Wait, when Goran like went out with it because someone poked him in the eye,
our season was over.
Dude, I was not watching. I got like an alert on Twitter. Goran heads back to the locker room. I'm like, oh crap, I predicted this on the last podcast. Like, everyone's gonna blame me for this.
The prophecy, no.
I'm like, dude, I've been like way too spot on about too many things. If I predict that Goran's gonna be lost for the rest of the year, either I'm a witch or I'm the worst luck ever.
That's a close call. You need to stop with the predictions.
Yeah, no more predictions.
Can they make him wear goggles and put him in bubble wrap all the time?
Yeah. He's going to win the title.
Hashtag not my president.
Oh, come on, dude.
So question for you guys. Does beating Cleveland twice in a row do anything from a mental standpoint heading into that series 1-8 if that happens?
No.
Kevin Love out. No.
Yes. No, just because how many times did the Heat lose a season series to the Bulls and the Knicks and the Pacers? Like, none of that stuff matters, man. Like, I would love, first of all, that first game when we beat them by 30. I mean, Channing Frye was their best player. But, okay, so that brings me to another thing, Leif. Like, people saying that this is the best and deepest team LeBron has ever had because they picked up Bogut off the trash heap. They picked up Darren Williams off the trash heap. They picked up Derek Williams. Like, people are overvaluing the crap out of these bums. Like, where is this coming from? That this is the best, deepest team LeBron has ever been on. Like, he was not on a team with Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, Shane Battier, and Ray Allen.
Because like, people like it better because it's in Cleveland and not Miami. And that's a cute story. Of the underdogs that need to win.
LeBron James.
What a poor town.
But they get that all the time, right? Do you guys remember every year, like, it was something, like, remember when they picked up, like, Antoine Jameson? And they're like,
missing piece.
2008, 2009, like, oh, Antoine Jameson's going to put him over the top. Like, really, Antoine Jameson? Like, there's a reason these guys are available on waivers.
Larry Murphy.
Yeah, Troy Murphy. Troy Murphy and Mike Bibby were available. We're like, oh, we only got Mike Bibby.
Dog, I still believed in Troy Murphy.
We all did.
I wish we signed Troy Murphy over Mike Bibby. Mike Bibby ruined the finals for us.
But if you look at it, nobody ever really like went crazy over when we signed Birdman. But Birdman,
you know what's funny about so the league? My dad asked me. He goes, "Who's this Birdman guy?" And I go, "Don't worry, he's never gonna play."
Yeah, because. But nobody.
What a difference maker! It was crazy. You rarely see a guy come in that late in the season and turn it on like that. He was like the perfect vertical spacing option. He was like the
80% from the field. It was
ridiculous. Were we excited for Troy Murphy? He was averaging 4 points at the time.
Dude, Udonis Haslem was like our fifth best player that year. Of course you're going to get excited for Troy Murphy, man.
He was averaging 4
points. Wait, what just happened just now? Did you just slander UD?
I totally slander here, man.
Dude, whoa, and also, that year, how good was UD when he came back? Dunking on Derrick Rose in the playoffs. Yeah, like
he came back in May.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like...
It doesn't matter. Just don't do it, man.
There was a lot of Zydrunas Ilgauskas that year.
Oh my God! We never talk about him.
Smelling like cigarette smoke, shooting jays.
And Eric Dampier out there with chocolatas.
Wait, who smells like cigarette smoke?
Zydrunas Ilgauskas.
Really?
But yeah, like what? Because you picked up Derek Williams and Andrew Bogut, like all of a sudden you're world beaters. I don't get that. Like they just hand him all these accolades, man.
Giannis was 8-8 on 50% shooting that year.
All right,
pretty good.
All right.
Pretty solid, man.
I don't think it's unfair to say that this is the deepest team they've had by names. I don't think this is the best team that LeBron's ever had. They have a bunch of names.
Alex, that's cool. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. Deepest team by names.
I mean, yeah, that's what people are doing it by. People always do everything by paper.
So if they sign Dirk right now, like, I mean, just because they're names, who cares if they're names?
Be a nice fit.
I don't think it's the deepest team by names compared to his Miami teams, but maybe from his Cleveland teams, I would agree with that. But the names on the Rashard Lewis team, I say that because he was one of those names, you know what I mean? That
guy got finals minutes, a lot of them.
And he was good in the finals.
Yeah, he was.
It was him and LeBron that year.
Michael Beasley. 2014.
Yeah, LeBron was good after we got down by 20. Then he all of a sudden he turned it on, jackass.
That wasn't his fault, man. That series was not his fault. Dwayne and Bosh were terrible.
That series. No. Bosh was not that bad. Dwayne was terrible. He was hurt. And Chalmers was made. He was almost Joel. Not Joel Anthony. What's the guy's name? The big dumb stiff that cost us in.
McClure?
Jermaine O'Neal. He was like Jermaine. Yeah, he was like Jermaine O'Neal bad in that finals. Like,
Jermaine O'Neal was so bad in that Celtics series.
Oh my gosh!
If he was just not terrible, they probably take that to 7.
Dude, if he just did, if he just never shot, if he didn't do anything, like if he just held the ball,
best player that year.
If he held the ball until we had a 24-second violation, it would have been better than what he did.
Like,
he was so bad.
He was the second best player on that team.
I still hate Jermaine O'Neal.
Why? Him and Bibby, man.
God. He's an abomination. How do you go in the playoffs and do that?
He's an abomination.
You think the Celtics were game planning for Jermaine O'Neal?
I don't think anyone's ever called Jermaine O'Neal an abomination.
You think the big three Celtics were game planning for Jermaine O'Neal?
They weren't game planning for Dwayne because Dwayne lit him up for like 40 a game on like 60% shooting.
So how does Jermaine O'Neal do that when Dwayne Wade is playing like Michael Jordan? Shouldn't it be easier for him? How did he have the worst playoff series of all time?
I've never seen that many bunnies missed in my life, dude. He was like, because you know he never ventured anywhere from between 3 feet from the basket.
The left-handed bunny.
All day long, just blip, 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 break, break, break. What a loser.
Wow, the Jermaine O'Neal.
No, we're going to go hard on the Jermaine O'Neal.
He was solid all year.
Like he was, then all of a sudden he got lemon booty in the playoffs. Dude.
That entire really series.
Would you say he was an abomination?
Yes.
That's no other opinion he had there. Jermaine O'Neal's an abomination.
He had in that entire series, he shot
It's the worst ever.
I remember tweeting about
it. No, it's one of the worst ever. 21
points.
What, didn't he shoot like 11% or something stupid like that?
20%.
He scored. Wait, he said 21 over the whole series?
21 over five games on 20% shooting. 20%. 42% from the free throw line.
A seven-footer shooting 20%. He wasn't taking threes, bro. Like, this, oh my God. Like, if he was just halfway decent.
Is Abomination, like, am I being too nice now?
He had more personal fouls than field goal makes. He had 13 personal fouls. He had 9 field goal makes.
That's like Aaron, bro.
See, that's heat culture right there. Be grateful for Jermaine O'Neal's against Boston. You be grateful.
Abomination?
That's like Andrew Bogut's Cavs career. How funny was that, man? I'm sorry. I don't wish injury upon anybody. But if there's going to be a season-ending injury and it can be funny, that's the only way it could possibly happen. Like, he gets a foul sticking his ass out. That was his first Cleveland Cavalier highlight.
Then, 2 minutes.
And then snap.
No, not even that. Then he misses an alley-oop. Like, totally whiffs it, right? Then he comes back, and a late closeout on Okoro White.
Okoro White
breaks his leg.
Hey, when Golden State out-rebounds them by, like, 19 in game 5... We're gonna. Okoro White is gonna emerge on Twitter.
Get a ring,
dude. And they were like, "Yeah, the Bogut injury deflated us." Like, what? Like, you don't even know. Like, most of you guys even know who he was before this. Like, he just got there, deflated you, dude. They made up so many excuses after that game. It was amazing.
LeBron was in full excuse mode.
They were tired. Like, oh my.
Do you think LeBron and Bogut had actually spoke like before, like from the moment he signed to when that happened? They still hadn't embraced.
LeBron didn't even know Bogut was playing that night. Like he wasn't even sure he was on the team yet.
Oh, he's ours now.
Oh, who's this? Oh, is that Mozgov?
Yo, Griff, you got Bogut? What'd you say, Mozgov?
That's Mozzie.
Mozzie's back.
Speaking of that, look at, I mean, Luol Deng, is he overpaid or is he overpaid? I mean, wow.
Look at Luol Deng.
He would have been in a worse contract if it wasn't for the Knicks giving joking no that money.
Maybe the Lakers, yo. Sorry.
Oh, okay, let's talk about the Knicks. That Isola tweet where he's saying that Knicks players in the locker room are wondering how a team with less talent like the Miami Heat have a better record than they do. Am I wrong for thinking that they have less talent than the Knicks? I'm not 100% sold on that. After Porzingis and the aging Melo, like, what talent do they have?
I agree. Carmelo, though, is, I think if Carmelo is maximized, he's the best player on either team. Porzingis has the most, and I know people will probably snicker at that, but I still think he has the ability to take over games. Porzingis
was in dead weight.
If he was in Heat culture shape, let's put it that way.
Kyle Quinn's a good player. Porzingis is good. Kyle Quinn's, I mean.
Quinn's Willie Reed, but a shorter version.
Well, I'm speaking. I think they mean, what'd you say?
Hold on, I'm speaking.
The shorter version of Willie Reed.
Right now, with the way they're both playing, who would you rather, Goran Dragic or Carmelo Anthony?
Goran.
Dragic.
Goran.
Thank you.
Scorn.
So,
but I'm telling you, they said talent. They didn't say who's better.
But guys, Carmelo Anthony can't bend at the knees anymore. Like, let's
Carmelo's talent. But I'm talking about like guys that have ability. Like Carmelo has talent.
Okay, he can't jump anymore. It's basketball. Like I know Carmelo can score, but what else can he do anymore? And like. He wears a sweater on the basketball court.
Yeah, this is the exact same thing we said about James Johnson last year when he was in Toronto.
No, he's like, no, James Johnson didn't look like an old man at the movie theater. Like
he kind of did, actually.
Okay, he kind of did. He did kind of look an old man.
That's a good description of Toronto Raptors version of James Johnson.
Old man at the movie theater.
What was he weighing? Like 260?
He got the...
He looks like Draymond Green light after losing.
He's got
a few
the Regal Cinema vest.
What were the Raptors doing?
The
to
Magic
him, man?
Johnson Theater vest.
That's bulletproof.
So inside, but if you get it, so it's like the funniest thing in the world. Oh my god! That's
you're a funny visual here.
Oh my god!
Oh man, why do I slander Magic Johnson movies?
Didn't you grow up loving Magic?
Oh, that's why. That's still my favorite player of all time.
You wrote that beautiful column.
Yeah, like I love Magic, dude. Like that's like honestly, he made me fall in love with basketball. Like watching him play, this man.
No, I
right,
love
right.
Wait. What was that?
No, I was trying to queue up something so I can tell you guys, but I have Al's rant. If you want to give context, do you want context?
I
Twitter man.
You of all people,
wow.
They all play
that's
everything.
That's coming out of your paycheck, just so you
Jesus
know.
Jesus, Brian. You're the producer.
Oh, speaking of paychecks, are we going to plug the fact that we're about to have shirts for sale? Or is that too early?
I mean, yeah, we're trying to launch tomorrow.
No, we have a fashion line.
Okay, but like now I'm promoting. You guys know, like I'm nothing but a shameless promoter. Like, go buy the shirts, man.
I get Heat Twitter t-shirts. I just unplugged my headphones, so I can't hear anything right now.
Yeah,
that was like the like. Okay. So you were trying to sell t-shirts, and like halfway through, you started stuttering.
Okay, I got it.
You're no Stu Gass, man.
Unplug my headphones.
I'll do it. So we got t-shirts for sale tomorrow on represent.com/Miami Heat Beat. We got t-shirts for. I think what do we have right now? We have a Riley Vector coming up. We got a Learn to Game shirt. We got a Heat Culture shirt. And we have a Heat logo shirt. Plus, we also have a Trust Disposa shirt.
Want to try that again?
Trust
we have t-shirts with Alf's face on them if anybody wants to buy them.
Are we going to do that? We should do the Django face.
No, do you guys know the Heat, like the Heat Moments t-shirts? Like the legacy t-shirts of like those great moments in Heat history?
I have all of them, yes.
Yeah, we're gonna have one with Harrison and that shirt next to Justice TJ.
Oh my god, I would buy like 50 of
them. Yeah, you can buy a hoodie, you can buy a thermal version of it too.
You can put it on a hoodie too, right?
Yeah, no, we have all of them.
Hey, should,
we have tank tops for women too.
I want an Alf Moments. Series of shirts of all the tweets that have got me blocked.
I have the tweet.
Yo, I'm gonna go take a photo in some sand.
Leif Sam Club jeans. Dude.
Yo,
oh my,
can we get
so
a,
inside?
Can we get a Heat Twitter legacy t-shirt with like the horse cock?
Can we say, we can say horse cock, right?
Yeah, we can't sell that.
I guess we're finding out right now.
But we can't leave it in there. But we can't sell it on a shirt.
we need a legacy horse cock meme, man. Isn't that what legacy is all about?
It's for a legacy shirt.
We need a flying deaf machine shirt.
Imagine you're standing in the line at 7-Eleven and you turn around and somebody's wearing a horse cock shirt.
The one that was it fit? Somebody made it a Michelle Beat. Like,
oh my god.
You're just asking for us to get sued.
Yeah. I don't think we should follow through with that.
The Michelle Beatle C word shirt.
Oh my god.
Send one to Dono.
Yikes.
Yo, this is a great idea. Putting like Heat Twitter moments on t-shirts.
Yeah, and it's a very bad podcast segment, by the way.
It's really
like
abusive.
Five people get it.
There's like three people that are listening right now that get it.
Yo,
but it's also only three people
gonna
listening.
Laugh when he hears this.
Shout out to Fitz.
No, Fitz was a dick about our last podcast.
No, he liked it. He liked it. He said we were out there with
Zach Lowe. He liked Evan. He said the rest of us sounded uninformed. which is true.
I mean, next to Evan, I mean, of course.
No, that the you know, honestly, I was very bothered by that criticism, and it's because it was so friggin' true. Like, we sat, like, we sounded so uninformed next to Evan. It was like, oh, crap.
Well, actually, I'll set you free, but first it's going to piss you off.
Like, I've been revealed. I don't know crap. I just talk loud.
This podcast is further confirmation to that fact as well.
Yeah. I gave some rock solid
takes
analysis. I really did. And then Gianni kind of circumvented it with his bad reading of stats. But then we came back around. I was even more right than I thought originally. So I'm good at this analysis crap.
You guys dropped a gem of a joke.
He did. On the last pod?
Yeah, yeah.
So now we're reminiscing on the last pod. I mean,
hold on, we're doing a podcast about the last podcast.
Evan,
we truly become the Levitard show, like where he spends three segments on the interview he did on the first segment. That's what we're doing now. We're talking about our man crush on Evan Cohen.
It's great.
He was really good on that podcast.
Dude, I was on my way home from work. It's kind of embarrassing, but like I was listening to Ethan and then I wasn't. Then I was listening to Hawk and I was like, oh man, can I get Evan's show? And I was like going faster, trying to get into Poppy Town. Like to try to pick up ESPN. I was like, oh, I'm about to catch it.
Sam asked eating ticket to $7.90.
Yeah, I might be able to catch the end of Evan's show if I go fast enough. I think I'm still employed by $7.90, which I probably shouldn't say that then.
There's no way they're going to listen.
But Hawk's show was about Dolphins free agency.
Yeah, man. Anthony Fasano, what's up with that?
Can we talk about how dumb NFL free agency is? Because no one who ever wins free agency ever wins the Super Bowl. Like
Green Bay is all quiet every single year. You don't hear anything.
It's not the Patriots.
Literally, and you guys can tell me if I'm wrong, the last time someone won a Super Bowl off of free agency is like when the Niners and the 49ers and the Cowboys were going back and forth with Deion Sanders.
Well, like, the Patriots got Darrell Revis, and that kind of helped.
Yeah, that's true. And that was
Marquez Bennett.
But and that has been your NFL segment on the Miami Heat Beat podcast. No, but
that sport, and we'll bring it back to the NBA with this, that sport is different because they have a hard cap. In the NBA, you have a soft salary cap, so you can go over with player exceptions and stuff like that and bird rights. In the NFL, you're hard capped. So overspending doesn't get you anything. In the NBA, you can buy something. In the NFL,
that sport is different because they're all dead by the time the playoffs come around. Oh, so whoever has the most legs and arms available, now I'm not even going to say heads and brains because most of them are scrambled. So whoever has the most limbs available to play a playoff game is going to end up winning the Super Bowl.
Speaking of scrambled brains, Tyler Johnson. I mean, oof. The end of that game.
What did you do?
End
there?
Of that game.
No, what did you dare?
What are you doing, man?
I thought he competed hard against Kemba on the defensive end.
Yeah, Kemba lit him up.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, but he competed hard. Like, hey, come on, man. Like,
dog, he got
moves his feet. He moves his feet.
Dude, so we all knew when that game came down to the last few possessions that Kemba and Deion were about to pull it out and measure. Like, we all knew that. Like, it was going to be a complete, like, yeah, it was, they both probably looked at each other like, yeah, it's on, all right? It is on.
It's like when Deion and Tim Hardaway were at it.
Oh, you're going to take a dumb shot? Watch this. Like, you have no idea what I'm about to do. You're going to blow a layup? I'm Deion Waiters. I made blowing layups a living, baby. Come on. That's what I do, baby.
He kicked his feet out when he took that 1-3. That was,
such a heat check, man.
He lives in a heat check.
Dude, I hate that guy, man. I hate him so much, and I love him.
That guy's life is a heat check.
Has Ray Allen ever taken a shot like that, where like, he kicked both feet out?
He did the jump man logo shoot.
He did like a double clutch three falling out of bounds, and then he makes it. And then now I got to hear everyone say Deion Waiters is the GOAT. Like, ah, oh, man, I love that guy, but I hate him.
You've been more wrong about him than I've been about TJ.
No, I don't agree.
Evan Cohen agreed with
me. I think
no, because Deion,
he may be right.
Dude, Deion is still who Deion is.
But Deion's
like, we wanted him off the team.
Yeah, but
you wanted Briante over him. Briante couldn't stay on the Warriors.
None of us really think that's what's happening with Deion is real. Like, nobody thinks this is real and sustainable. If you do, you're an idiot. Like, what happened? It looks like G's CD is skipping. Dude, he was talking. Like, did that only happen on my computer?
Mine totally froze.
He went full Alex Toledo.
He never Alex, go full Alex Toledo. Everything?
Me?
What if what Deion's doing is real? Just like, what if?
Yeah, like Whiteside, when Whiteside had that stretch and we thought it wasn't real.
What if it's real?
What if Waiters is a new Whiteside?
The human embodiment of what heat culture can do.
Exactly. Wait, Whiteside. Correct.
I got 3 years of embodiment of Cavs culture. That tells me he's pretty ass.
And a year of Billy Donovan.
Like, no, dude, but like, he's not taking good shots. Like, I don't care what. Like, I'm enjoying the Deion Waiters roller coaster. I'm enjoying the experience. He is necessary for this team because somebody has to create when Goran's getting double teamed and they're trapping him, taking the ball out of his hands. I understand that he's necessary for this team, but I'm still not 100% bought in. I'm not buying the lipstick on the pig. Like, he's still Deion Waiters. And, like, honestly, love him to death. Like, but he's Chalmers with a higher usage percentage, man.
Can
like,
I offer you a theory?
Offer it.
The Heat, particularly Deion, are getting such quality looks. Most of them are open. Over 70% of their shots are open, statistically via NBA tracking. When you get in a rhythm of these open threes, they start, and Deion's killing you on the drive. Him and Goran are two of the top guards. I believe they're both in the top five in drives per game and finishing. I'm just giving you context that they're deadly
Taking
the ball and they're going to the basket. So when you're in a late game situation and Deion has that cushion and he's already in a shooting rhythm, he's going to make more of those than he ever has because he can shoot the ball. He has good form. There is a threat of the drive. There's another guard opposite him who can shoot and take you off the dribble. They have a big guy in James Johnson that creates so many matchup problems with switching and passing. So, like, Deion's playing a different game than he's ever played. Yeah, the shots are dumb, and a lot of them, they're not going to go in all the time. But the fact that he's in a rhythm all game, I mean, we've seen him miss shots in the stretch. He's had a couple bad games. But I think more often than not, he's going to be in a rhythm and he's going to be taking enough quality looks that and not that he's going to be playing to this level, but it might be something close to it.
So how much do you pay him in year one if you keep him?
Nothing.
What's the highest you go?
$6 million.
Ooh. No, Alf. I mean, come on. You justify playing Tyler Johnson $20 million.
Do you go to 12?
You know what I'm saying? Like, if Tyler Johnson's getting $20 million a year, what the hell is he? He's certainly a very good defender, just on that alone.
See, I completely ignored everything Gianni said as soon as he introduced Tyler Johnson. I'm dead ass.
No, like, I'm just like, saying.
Stop
like,
comparing him to Tyler. It's two different situations. Saying
that I don't want to pick $6 million.
Anyway, Leif, with your good question. If you could get like TJ, see, F me up. If you get James Johnson for like 12 or 10 and Deion for 12 or 10, like between the two of them, you're paying one max contract, I'd be 100% for that. Like, I'd be 100% between the two of those guys paying one max contract for a six man of the year candidate and a basically your backup point guard playmaker. Like, I'd be for that. But if either of those guys costs more than $15 million, I can't. I'm not doing it.
I think you give James Johnson the $15 million.
As long as
maybe on a 2-year deal. You know, like maybe on a short deal with James Johnson, if the number's going to go up, it'll be interesting to see how Justice fits in with James Johnson and this roster next year.
Two and a player option.
You kind of walk for nothing.
So that's done. We've got that figured out. Moving on.
We figured it out.
But man, I guess it's. I think you can kind of gauge what James Johnson's going to get on the market easier than Deion Waiters, just because Deion has a really bad. I think Deion has a bad reputation around the league, so he's playing the stretch, and I think everyone's a little confused.
Why would the MVP have a bad reputation?
All it takes is the Knicks. Remember that the Knicks are out there, man. The Lakers are out there. They're like sharks in the water giving out bad contracts.
Billboard so bad.
The Nets.
Welcome to New York. Deion Waiters on a billboard.
In Times Square, whatever. That's what they want to do, man. Put him on the side of the garden, majestic in a Knicks jersey.
He'd own New York.
I was going to say believe at the bottom.
Yeah.
Phil Jackson hit rock. That's when Phil Jackson hits rock bottom.
From wait, to Kobe,
wait, there's lower than where Phil Jackson is right now? Like, there's a bottom to this?
Yeah, never mind, man. I'd rather have Deion at 25 years old than Melo at whatever he is.
Yeah, same.
What do you think goes through Deion's head as he's having a career year? Do you think, like he felt that it was his teammates' fault? Yeah. Nobody gave him, like...
I think he truthfully credits... the coaching staff, the organization, that kind of stuff. I know that it sounds crazy to think that most people would say, oh, Deion's patting himself on the back. He's doing the Hassan Whiteside deal. I don't think so, man. Just by his comments that I've seen in Manny's articles, Barry's articles, Chang's articles. Hopefully I said his last name right.
Do you think that buys the Heat anything?
No, anyway, first of all, Leif, I love you, but you're wrong. He does not. The only thing he credits the coaching staff with is giving him more opportunity. And if you read what he says, he credits the Heat with getting him in shape and also giving him a chance to be Deion Waiters. Like he's not saying anybody taught him anything.
You're right.
Well, they finally let Deion be Deion. Goddamn!
You can't let me get my 1 minute of Hassan slander in. Damn, just let it ride.
No, I'm not letting you get away with that Deion praise, man. Like, and I love Deion. I don't love Deion. I was about to lie my ass off.
This is why I like Deion, because Goran is able to actually be Goran, and this is like what I wanted to see the whole time, why I was always tweeting about him having keys to some fictional car that he, I don't know why I want him to.
How did Cleveland lose?
Cleveland lost?
By 5 points.
What did they lose to?
That's your boy, Gianni.
They're doing that crap.
I hate LeBron even more now.
I'm gonna check what Derek Williams did, because if he had a good game, I'm gonna break something.
Somebody needs to tweet Kevin, whatever his last name is. Dash.
Dude, how did Detroit beat Cleveland? Like, really?
On that triple double, and they lost.
Kevin Love eats fun dip.
Hey, it's Flo. And you know what word I've never understood? Top hat. Aren't all hats on top? They're like the toppest part of every outfit. Unless I've been doing it wrong. That's why I stick with simple words like flotection. It means the sense of security you'll feel when your new home is protected by home insurance through me and Progressive. Also, there shouldn't be a top hat unless there's a bottom hat. Wait, is that what underwear is?
Save an average of 17% on car insurance when you bundle home and auto through Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.